Blog Talk Radio. None of it? Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. I have to apologize to Miss Janet and Janine Africa. This is the second taping of this interview. I apologize to you ladies profusely, but it did not record because of technical difficulties. But thank you for agreeing to come back on and finish the interview. Miss Janet and Janine Africa.
Yes. Hello.
We're not going to try to rebuild the past because you ladies are doing some wonderful work with Muma Abu Jamal. We'll go into a little history later on into the interview, but let's talk about the work you are currently doing with Muma Abu Jamal.
Yeah. After doing 41 years in prison for a crime we didn't commit, we stayed strong, committed to John Africa, and staying committed to our fight with right. And right now, our focus and priority is on freeing Mumia Abu Jamal, who has been wrongly imprisoned and convicted of killing a cop only because he was the only journalist at that time in 1978 that printed and reported the truth about what was going on between MOVE and the city of Philadelphia. And because he was putting the truth out and it was showing people how MOVE is innocent, we didn't kill a cop, they came after him. And after he called into a radio program where the Judge Malmet that sentenced us was on there, and he pressured the judge into say who killed the cop, and the judge had to admit he didn't know. And he said, but you sentenced 9 people to prison and you don't know who killed the cop. Right after that radio program is when we found out that Mumia was shot, fighting for his life in the hospital, and that he was accused of murdering a cop. Now, what we're telling people is Mumia is in the process right now. He's got an appeal in because last year they found 6 boxes of evidence that was hidden away that would have brought to light that some of the main key witnesses in his case was paid off with money and favors of not being sent to prison if they would get on the stand and lie against Mumia Abu Jamal. Now, this petition put this in front of this Judge Clemens. She's a black female judge. And after seeing the evidence and these statements, she wrote a 34-page answer to Mumia's lawyer's petition stating that even if the jury in his original trial had known that the key witnesses was paid off by the DA to lie against Mumia, it would not have made a difference. They would have still given him the death penalty. And we're saying we want people to realize how insulting this is to them and everybody in this country and outside of this country for her to make a statement like that. If you're saying that these people lied on Mumia, the jury would not only have not given him the death penalty, they would have never found him guilty. But she's making a statement like that, and don't care because all she's concerned with is covering up for this government. And she feels like she can say that and get away with it because she's a judge and she's used to getting away with it, and she know that this government will have her back. And we're telling people, do not be fooled by this and look at what is going on, that even though she's a black female, don't think that she's going to be unbiased and fair and give a fair decision in Mumia's case, because the statement she made right there is letting you know where her mind is at and who she's working for and who she's working against. And we, you know, we just want people to realize that the doctor don't teach us to judge a person by their race or their sex, because you judge a person by what they do. And for this woman to make a statement like that, we're telling people stay on alert, because it's obvious that something is wrong here. And this is why once the courtroom was packed, that she made a decision to postpone giving the final decision for 90 days, because Move feels like she's stalling because of the pressure. Like I said, his courtroom was packed, and there's a lot of support still going for Mumia, and I think they realize that they're not just going to get away with saying stuff like this to keep him in jail. And we want people to realize this and understand that this government is still manipulating Mumia's case. You know, a couple of years ago, Maureen Faulkner, the widow of the cop that Mumia was convicted of killing, filed a petition. It's called a King's Bench petition. And before filing it, she stated, knew that they were losing this case with Mumia, and that they were going to do whatever.
I cannot hear you.
That they knew they were losing the case.
I cannot hear you.
I don't know what's going on. You still can't hear me? Angela?
Just one of those days. I got a lot on my mind, trying to manage my time. Maybe you could come give me a hug and bring me back to life. That I need a hug. I'm going through some things right now. I need a hug, baby, and I need it from you right now.
I need a hug.
Oh, I need a hug. It's just one of those days.
I need a hug.
Need to feel your arms around me, see your pretty face. Today it feels like the world is on my shoulders, and I can feel my energy getting lower. That's why I need you. I need you to
come over.
So I can feel the way I feel every time I hold you.
Every time that you're with me.
Every time
you give me good energy. Yes, you do.
Another headphone set and another computer. All right, let's pick up where we left off. You were talking about the black female judge who is being used as a token to make everything look like it's there's no discrimination because her skin is black, and because she is female, she's being used to say there's no discrimination in this case, and there's no bias in this case because she's a black female. And she put out a statement. Okay, let's take it up from there.
So we just want people to realize and don't feel comfortable with it, because for her to make that statement that it's in black and white in these transcripts and evidence that they found that the key witnesses were paid to lie against Mumia, and she's saying that would not have changed the verdict or his sentence. So that's letting you know right there, and we want people to see that there is something wrong. And like I was saying, that this system, this government is still manipulating Mumia's case and trying to keep him in prison. And that is the very thing that Maureen Faulkner, the widow of the cop Mumia, was at all of the procedures and appeals that Mumia had filed a couple of years ago. And she said that her and the FOP felt like they were going to lose this case with Mumia, and that what they were going to do was stall and keep Mumia in prison as long as they could. And that's exactly what has been happening and exactly what's going on now. Because
now, I know Mr. Mumia Abu-Jamal was on death row. He is no longer on death row. They wanted to put him to death for murdering a cop that he did not murder. They tried to kill him. He nearly died. I understand that. I understand the whole case.
So that's the thing. That is where we're trying to put our energy in and the priority on, because, you know, the situation with him in prison is serious. He's had a lot of health issues, because this is the pattern that this government, prisoners and anybody they feel like is influential and could get people motivated to fight against this system. And Mumia is one of those people. He is the voice of the voiceless. He influences and has a support all around the world.
That's
and
true. The Move
want...
Nine, the Move You, the Africa family, the Move Nine is world renowned. There's hardly anyone that has not heard of you. There have been history classes. Law students have studied this case for many years. There have been many celebrities that have protested against the unfair treatment of you all. You unfairly sentenced to prison for murders
mm-hmm.
that you did not
mm-hmm.
commit.
Mm-hmm.
Mumia Abu-Jamal is a well-known prisoner, a well-known
mm-hmm.
prisoner who is known to not have killed anyone. It's a fact. 6221 Osage Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania is a well-visited place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, that's
where you used to
what
live.
We're trying to fight this just like people did for us. They help family fight to get us released. And so we're telling people the same can be done for Mumia. And it just takes work, pressure, and consistency, no let up, you know. And we're saying anything, if it's just a phone call, a letter, just telling other people about it, whatever can be done helps. And that's what we're telling people. We don't expect people to take the stand like Move did, you know, to be on the front line like we were.
Yes, people are afraid of death row, and people are afraid of being sent to prison.
And but that is the tactic of this system. They want to scare people. They want to take the fight out of people. And this is the tactic that they use, you know. But, you know, we're telling them that you can do stuff without being in a position that is frightening. We understand that. We understand that people don't want to go to jail or be sentenced to death row. That is natural and it's reasonable. You know, it's reasonable, you know, because you're dealing with a corrupt system and
You don't have to be guilty. All you have to be is available, and they will make up the rest. So, you know, we just want people to know that there's a lot of political prisoners in prison for just daring to speak up against this system, and we're just trying to do what we can to help get them released. And right now, our focus is on our brother Mumia Abdul-Jamal, because he was there for us. He put everything on the line to get the truth out, and so we are giving what we can, give our all to get him released from prison.
All right. Okay.
And like I was telling you before, Angela, there is so much.
Is this Mr. Dean?
This is Janet.
This is Janet. Hi, Miss Janet. I was just speaking
Hi.
With Mr. Dean. Everyone, you're listening to Janet Africa.
Yeah, when we were talking earlier, when I was telling you about how the system designs things to scare people, to break them down so they don't speak out against anything, so they don't do anything, and they use people like they did with MOVE as an example. Oh, yeah, you speak out against the system, and this is what will happen to you. Murdered our family, murdered our kids, 41 years in prison, and beat, stomped. These are the things they do to discourage people. And, of course, everybody has feelings, and when they see that stuff, they're emotionally involved in it because they don't want it happening to them. But at the same time, they don't want all these injustices happening to them and their loved ones and black people, white people. They don't want that happening either. But people draw a line, just like you said, which is understandable because nobody wants to be put in jail for the rest of their life. Nobody wants to do 41 years in jail. Nobody wants to live on death row. Nobody wants their family murdered, a bomb dropped on them. And everybody can understand that. But there are things that people can do. Like I was telling you, go to court, emails, text, call senators and governors and put pressure. Just keep pressure on these people to do something about the injustices that are done. This is what we were telling people about, you know, helping Mumia and other political prisoners where they can put pressure on this system, because that's the only way the system will do anything. John Africa taught us that, you know, as long as these people feel like they can get away with it without any consequences or anything, they do what they want to do. And look what they're doing to Mumia now. I mean, they think people are crazy. People are just supposed to sit back and accept what this government, these judges tell people. They will make decisions based on how they feel about an organization. They hate MOVE people. If they hate black people, and they make hatred decisions like they did years ago when they hung people, when they burnt people, swung them from a tree. They made these same kind of decisions when it came to MOVE, when it came to Mumia. And we are telling people that they have to realize what is going on with this government, this system, this legal, this thing they call legal. You know, people are confused by it because we went in front of a judge. Judge found us guilty. And people who are not familiar with the injustice of the system, they say, well, a judge found you guilty, so you must be guilty. And that is not true. That is not right. But this is what they have indoctrinated with people with. If a judge say you're guilty, you are. But John Africa teach us that just because it's legal, don't make it right. Slavery was legal, but was it right? Hell no, it wasn't right. But this is the kind of stuff that they got in people and have people thinking that you're guilty when you're not, just because the judge said it. And this is what they're trying to do with Mumia now. And every time that they've come up with a decision, they had to go back and do a review and come up with another decision. This one judge that did Mumia's case at the very beginning, his name is Judge Sabo. He's the one that found Mumia guilty. In the beginning of his trial, Judge Sabo said, I'm going to help them fry that nigga. And you're talking about Mumia. And this was before Mumia's case. I mean, it was early in the case, about a week or two on. And he was making comments like that, like already making a guilty ruling on Mumia, because
how in the world could he say he gonna help them fry that nigga, and he don't even know if they're guilty, number one. And number before one is that racist, because he hates black people. He hated Mumia, hated what Mumia stood for, all the support he had, that he led the charge against Mumia. And then this judge, Demby, who reviewed this whole case with Mumia, she said that the ruling that Judge Sable made, the guilty ruling against Mumia, it wasn't any prejudice against Mumia because he was a judge and he could say that, but he could still rule fairly. Now, anybody in their right mind, anybody would have a conscience, knows that if somebody sit up there and call you a nigga and say they gonna fry you, what's already in that man's head, what his decision had already been made. But they made an excuse for it, Angela. They made an excuse excusing that man for being a racist, for being full of hate, and let his opinion, let his judgment, his ruling stand by calling Mumia guilty. He didn't know and didn't care if Mumia was guilty or not. Just the fact that he was black, called him a nigga. You know what it means to call somebody a nigga? Yeah, you know we do. Black people, when I was growing up, we called somebody a nigga. That's very offensive. And these days, white people got enough consciousness to know what racism is. You know, because they couldn't understand it, but they understand it now because they see it more. Everybody knows what it means when you call somebody a nigga. It means hate. And what is the evidence of that? We've seen it all throughout history. The hangings, the lynchings, the beatings, you know, all of that. And this is no different. It's just seemingly done a different way. So they can't tell us to believe Judge Sable. We cannot believe and do not believe that his decision was not made on racist, biased, prejudice. This is what happened in our case, too. Because what MOVE represented, the teaching of John Adkins, exposing this system for what it is, they wanted to shut us up. Why else would they drop a bomb and murder people? They wanted to shut us up.
Two bombs.
It wasn't criminal. They murdered our kids, murdered our animals. Because we spoke out against this system. We were not rapists. We were not thieves. We were not criminals. And they know it, and everybody else knew it. But the lengths that they went to get a bomb and drop and murder our family tells you the depths that this system will go to, and got people believing that we deserve that, that Mumia deserved that. This needs to be turned around. People need to look at this system, the injustice of the system, and turn that around that they got them thinking. They're pointed against the system because they are the ones that are wrong. They are the ones that build a platform to make people think that MOVE was guilty when we wasn't, to make people think that Mumia was guilty when he's not. And this is what people got to just be aware of. You, sometimes when we talk to people, it's like, yeah, we understand that you don't understand. But once you've been through it, once you see it, it makes a difference. And we're telling people that it should make a difference in their life. Don't let a Sable come knocking at your door, because, see, what happened to MOVE and what happened to Mumia could happen to anybody. And the excuses, the lies, and injustice that they come up with will be used against you, just like it was used against MOVE, just like it's being used against Mumia. Or just have to start looking at things for the way that they really are. And like Janine was saying, these are the kinds of things that we are doing, making people aware of the situation that's going on with
Mumia. You are some very strong women. You are some
thanks to John
very
Africa.
Strong black women.
Thanks to John, I'm telling you, Angela, thanks to John Africa, because without that, and before I came to MOVE, I was nothing like I am now. I was just la-di-da. Cops was cops, the judges was judges, and I believed them. I remember going in front of a judge before I came and MOVE. I was scared to death. You know, I was scared to death. And here you are, innocent, going in front of a judge and scared to death that the judge might find you guilty even when you're innocent. You know, and that's how people feel when they go into them courtrooms, because it's just like a roll of the dice. If the judge in a bad mood had an argument with his wife or whatever and feel like finding you guilty, then you get found guilty. And this is the kind of stuff that has been going on since the inception of this legal system, what we want to make people aware of. Real.
Well, the first step, Ms. Janet and Janine, Africa, they are trying to get outlaw qualified immunity. It's a step. Outlawing the Judge Floyd, George Floyd Justice Act, and getting qualified immunity outlaw is a start. It's just not going to change the past. It's not going to change what happened to you all, but I will say this, because of you all and all the publicity you all got back then and now, they'll never drop two bombs on anybody's house again.
I know, because exactly. And that is what I was saying about John Africa's strategy and the wisdom of John Africa. And the insurance policy that John Africa wrote for a lot of people that came after MOVE and people that spoke up with a voice and did things against this system, they had an insurance policy based on the strategy of John Africa, because what they did to MOVE and all the pressure they got from people, the hatred they got from people for what they did, murdering our babies, dropping a bomb, ruining the whole neighborhood, they didn't want that to happen again. But the only reason that happened was because of the policy, insurance policy, that John Africa put on people. So it was not only the protection of us that John Africa had, but the protection of other people that come behind MOVE, that speak out against the wrongs of the system,
according
that
to
they
the,
will never do that again.
Yeah, but people had to die for that.
Well, yes, that's how it
was. Children had to die for that.
How it is
for them not dropping any more bombs.
Yeah, and it's just that's the way things go. You know, you got to take that stand and you got to fight. But the fight is to keep other people from having
to
go
through that.
And because of you, I would say that you're the original Black Lives Matter, but they got you all with the police murder.
Yeah, so, you know, look, we just feel like the things that's happening now, the steps people are taking, we say good, because then it's like everything we've gone through, that our family has gone through, is not in vain. And that's all that matters. You know, that's all that matters, because what's the difference? Look what all the slaves had to go through, you know, those that had to die. The fight, but they didn't give up. And now look, you know, that's just how it is. You have to fight. You have to fight. You know, John F. could say you might as well fight to get that for you than to sit there and let them beat you down and keep you in hell anyway.
Yeah.
You know? So that's what we're doing. We just want people to know that the 41 years in prison, the bombing of our family has not stopped the MOVE organization, has not stopped John Africa's teaching, and that MOVE is still here, and we're still strong, and we're going to continue to be strong. And we
just
want every.
I just want to say this. Like I was saying about qualified immunity, it really needs to be outlawed. The way they're killing people, you know, killing people, the cops are, qualified immunity needs to be outlawed.
Mm-hmm.
I believe if qualified immunity is outlawed, it won't be as many murders of black bodies.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And those judges won't be able to sit on the bench and make these decisions like they're doing, because they have to answer for it. They will have to answer for it, and that is the point of John Africa. That's the point of the MOVE organization, to expose.
They'll have to go back to the woods. They'll have to go back to the woods and start lynching people instead of killing them like animals in the street. Animals have been treated worse than black people.
You know,
better
so
than black people.
That's
why
how it is. That's just how it
a
is.
A few
so
of us make it. A few people make it, but most don't. Qualified immunity in the George Floyd Justice Act is a start for a change.
Yes, it is. Yes,
it won't erase what happened to you all. It won't change the past, but it helped going forward. They'll have to go back to the woods and start hanging people.
Yeah, because that's the whole point of revolution, Angela. It keeps things moving, and we're not dwelling on the past. We're not looking because it can't be changed. The whole point was to fight to break through and push forward to stop it, and that's the whole point of John Africa, the MOVE organization. You know, we're doing this fight because we want that wrong to end, and that's the whole point. The whole point. And like you said, we're going to still be here. We're still fighting, and we ain't giving up. You know, COINTELPRO ain't stopping us. It didn't stop us in the early 70s. It ain't going to stop us now.
And we saying people give their support to me and all political prisoners because, you know, they got a new method now. Well, it's not really new, but they've been medically assassinating political prisoners, you know. They've been giving them all kinds of sickness and disease, making them damn near dead, and then letting them go home and a few months later die like they did to our brother Delbert Africa. They did that to Russell Schultz. Maroon Schultz and Sundiata, people that they let come home, but they had destroyed their health so bad that after coming home, they got to come into a hospice and then pass away or, you know, stay on that medical level for so long that they get no kind of enjoyment or anything out of life. So this is the main thing that we was talking to people about, too, that medical assassination that's happening a whole lot in prisons now. That's almost like, you know, the woods where you take them out in the woods and hang them, like you were saying. This is what they're doing to a lot of political prisons that were seen out in the limelight in the day when things was happening with them big-time things. Like now they got them in jail and they doing all kinds of medical stuff to them. When Delbert first came home from prison, Angela, when I saw him, I was like just so devastated. I cried. I didn't let him see me cry, but I cried because they had ruined him. And when he came out here.
That was your husband?
Yes. And when he came out here and went to a doctor, and the doctor was saying how bad that they ruined Delbert's health. And what they did to him, things was not necessary to do to him. And the things that he needed done, they didn't do for him. And that's why he came out of prison and died 6 months later. Because I won't even call it negligence because it's not negligence. It was deliberate.
Murder.
Okay,
that's how you feel. All right, that's how you see it.
Yep. All right.
Well, I have one more thing. Could you give everyone an update about the remains of the two children? That were at Penn State and Princeton? How did that turn out?
Well, the thing is it turned out inconclusive. The story has changed 6 times, and we have told them that we don't know what to believe coming from them. It has 1986. They said they gave the remains of our children and people that were in the house to different relatives that were out here, and it was supposed to have been taken care of. Now, that's 1986. 35 years later, they are changing it and saying that, this is the remains that's here. And that story has changed so many ways, Angela, that we're saying we don't believe them. We don't believe them. We don't know who they got, what they got. We don't even know if it's human remains or what.
and we have
that was the whole
washed
point.
Our hands. We washed our hands of it because we told them no matter who it is or what it is, the only thing they could do for us, they can't correct nothing. They can't change nothing. Our family is gone. But if they're sincere of trying to rectify the situation, release Mumia Abu-Jamal. He's still alive. He's an innocent man. We got boxes and boxes of proof of it. So if they want to make a gesture to show us that they are really sorry about what happened, release Mumia. And when we put that out, Angela, we've gotten silence. Nobody wants to put that into motion. But like
well, that was
said,
a lot of people promoted to high positions because a lot of people got promoted because of your case.
Oh, yeah.
Back
so,
in 1985, these people became judges.
Yeah.
Judges
yeah.
and
so,
prosecutors and senators.
Yeah. So, you know, as far as we're concerned, we
I
don't
mean,
believe nothing that's
it's
saying.
A lot of high up people. I mean, there's no telling how many people benefited.
Oh, absolutely.
And were promoted to higher positions.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because of what they did, those people were considered heroes.
Yeah,
they were.
So,
back,
you know, now.
Except for one thing, people like Bob Dylan. He protested.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's our position.
People like him,
resentment.
And that didn't even help. That didn't even help free you guys who everybody knew. I was innocent. I've looked at videos. I've looked at court records. I mean, there's no way you could have shot that cop.
Impossible, and they know
it. In the back of the neck from where he was standing there. There's no way that cop was killed by the Move 9 of the Africa family. You did not murder that cop.
And they know
he was shot at the back of the neck.
Exactly. And the bullet traveled downward. We was in our basement, so it was impossible. But this is what I was telling you about what this system, this legal system does, whatever they want to, whatever they can get away with. And from that, we spent 41 years in prison. They wanted us to die.
I mean, it was 500 police officers there.
Yeah.
There's no way you killed that cop. If anybody was in those... was murdered, it was you all. No matter what people say about the Move organization, whether it was good or bad, no one deserves that. No one deserves what was did to you all. It doesn't matter if everything you good was right. It does not matter if everything you did was wrong. No one deserves to be murdered like that. No one deserves to burn alive in a fire.
You're absolutely right.
Nobody deserves to burn alive in a fire, no matter how good or how bad they are. And they don't deserve to have 500 police officers surrounding their home at 6221 Osage Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You know, you guys were innocent. They sentenced you to prison anyway. I studied the whole case. I've looked at the court files and papers. I mean, it's not possible. It's not possible. Nobody deserves to be bombed and then to burn to death. No one deserves to have bullets shot at them and guns pulled on them by police officers and be forced back into a burning building. At gunpoint.
Yep, you're right. And so we want people to see that
no one deserves that, no matter how good they are.
But this is the same thing that they've done to Mumia. And for the same reason.
Mumia was on death row.
Because he was telling the truth. They wanted him to stop telling the truth about Move and Philadelphia. And he wouldn't.
They definitely didn't want the media to know about it, but it got out anyway.
Exactly.
That's the last thing they wanted was for the media to get involved.
Yeah. So that's today, and that's why we're fighting so hard to get him released. And we just hope that other people get involved.
The first time you say a black person has killed a cop, in America, you're automatically guilty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the first time you say you've killed a white person,
yeah,
you're automatically guilty in America, whether you did it or not. The first time a black person, a black people say they murdered a cop, their lives are over. Their lives are completely over. They might as well be in the grave. They'll put them in prison and torture them to death and punish them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all they have to say is a black person killed a cop.
That's it.
I'm afraid. I'm afraid of that black person. I'm afraid of them. They said the same thing when they castrated black men and hung them.
Yep, exactly. But that's what John Africa Move and others are here to stop. And we're going to keep fighting no matter what. So, you know, so Angela.
I'm going to say goodbye.
We got things to do, but thank you so much. You always look out for us, and thank you.
You're welcome.
We appreciate it.
God bless you, Miss Janet, and Janine Africa. Have a good day.
You too. On the move.
On the move. On the move.